Today also a large program of new construction is well underway. Ship for ship, ours are equal to or better than the vessels of any foreign power.
They assigned people to different jobs as they came to work. Whatever they needed, that's what you became, a ship fitter or a welder or a burner or a chipper or whatever they needed. That's what they taught you how to do.
236 Liberty ships were built in South Portland during World War II. There were two shipyards located there, and 30,000 workers built ships between 1941 and 1945. Welcome to the Homefront Veterans Oral History Project. WMPG and Portland Harbor Museum collected 35 interviews with former workers at the Liberty shipyards in South Portland, Maine. I'm Stephanie Philbrick, and in this edition, former shipyard workers talk about their jobs and how they contributed to building the 10,000-ton Liberty ships. There were two shipyards in South Portland, the East and the West Yard. Former workers Alexander Frustacci and Nicholas Davis explain the difference between the two yards.
I worked in the West Yard, which had, when they build a ship, they build them on sloping, what they call ways there. And when they are launched, they burn. There was kind of a metal that holds them from sliding off there. They burn this metal in two there, and the ship is released and slides around a greased runway right into the water. Now, on the East Yard, they built them in basins, and they opened up the door and let the seawater in, and the ship floated, and that's how they launched them.
The basins were made out of concrete, and they were right there at the ocean, and they were arranged so that you could lay the keel of the ships right on the level. You hadn't to worry about ways. In other words, just like building a house, you're on the level. You make a foundation, everything's level. You haven't got to worry about that slant. And then at the other end of the basins, they're sealed off from the ocean. And then when a particular ship was done, they could open up and let the seawater in. They'd float right up, just like putting water in the bathtub and blow right up. Then they could move them out, and then they could drain the water out and start another keel in there, see?
Liberty ship construction began with ship fitters who would piece the vessel together. Frank Bonville explains.
A ship fitter is a carpenter with steel. They're the ones that build the boat. You take the part, you cut them, you fit them, you put them together. Then from there on, the riveters and the welders take over and fix it up. I think the first week I just carried sections of steel around. Two or three of us would grab it and carry it into position. They would show us where it would go. We'd put it into position. We'd get a welder to tack it.
Tacking is what we do before the welders came and welded. We used to take the sheets of metal were laying down on the flats, and we used to tack them at different points so that when the welders came, they could make a seam right along.
I'll tell you, the tacking was just fastening it till somebody else come along and welded it. And welding was much nicer.
The shipyard workforce was made up of thousands of skilled and unskilled laborers, electricians, drafters, carpenters, crane operators, and even cafeteria workers and housekeepers were an important part of the shipbuilding process. But many of the shipyard workers were welders and riveters. These weren't the top jobs in the yards, but they were good-paying jobs, and the company would train new workers. Welding and riveting were the two main methods of fastening the parts of the ships together. Charles French, Doris Burney, and Gene Robbins talk about their jobs as welders.
Well, they were advertising for people that wanted to learn to weld. So I went over and signed up for the welding school. At that time, you had to take a test for flat, vertical, horizontal, and overhead. After you passed your test, they'd give you a job in the yard. Well, you had 100 feet of welding cable. You had 10 pounds of wire. You had a hand chipping gun and a wire brush.
I wasn't very big, and carrying those big cards and your basket of rods and things that you welded with around was not easy to do. You had to climb up and down and carry those things.
Because a rod would probably do about 6 inches of work. So it took a lot of them. And they'd be about 15 inches long, about a quarter of an inch thick. And of course you had to get as much supply as you could, because this way you didn't have to keep going back and get more supplies, and that's what made them heavy.
My name is Gloria Stover, and I was a weld cleaner at the shipyard for 18 months. After they got through welding, whatever they were welding, to put the ship together, we went down with a gun. It was just a long tool that had a blade on the end of it. It was called a weld cleaning gun, like a chisel type of thing, and it chiseled the weld off, what was left when the welder got through, so that you smoothed it all out.
One job that I wouldn't have taken if they gave it to me was riveters, because they had to work with that heat. And in the summertime, they would be a man inside and a man outside. And the one inside, there's no way of getting any air circulation. He's there just sweating. He's bucking the machine, and the one on the outside, bam, 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 and all that noise and everything.
My name is Esther Walker, and I was a rivet passer in the shipyard. That's catching the hot rivets. Well, you got this funnel-shaped bucket, big on the bottom and way down, and then you have a pair of tongs, and you have to catch the rivet in the bucket, pick it out of the tongs, and put it up in the hole to be riveted. Well, the heater would heat it up. It had to be white hot, because it was red hot, it was too cold. And then you'd take the tongs and take it out of the forge and throw it at me, and I'd catch it in a bucket and put it in the hole and hold it until called him the holder on. He had a drilling die, and he'd get a hold of it up there and hold it up there while the riveter on the other side would rivet it, flatten it right out. It had to be in there solid, too, because if it wasn't, it would leak.
Even after working on the ship 7 days a week, most workers never got to experience just what their labor had built. But Gene Robbins and Parker Savage did. Gene stowed away on a test run in Portland Harbor while working at the shipyards, and Parker was a passenger on a Liberty ship when he returned from Europe after the war.
Well, I'll tell you a good one. Yes, we were working on the O'Brien, and so I said to one of the girls that I work with, I can't remember who she was, but I said, let's hide and see if we can get away with it. Of course, everybody was supposed to get off, but we just kept quiet. Of course, they said, everybody off, but we didn't. We didn't go right very far out in the harbor, though. We just, you know, just enough to turn around, and it was fun, you know, because what pleased us the most is the thought that we got away with it. They couldn't put us off. It was in the middle of the ocean, you know, so we made our rise. Of course, what do? We come out, and there's my boss looking at me. What are you doing here? I said, hey, I worked on it. I want to try it out. So we went out.
I got to ride on one coming home. I don't know if it was made in Portland or not, but that's where we came back across from overseas. And we hit a bad storm coming back, and we were just sleeping right on the deck, on the second deck. We didn't have any cots or anything, just blankets. They'd put a canvas over the steel part of it. Then the canvas broke. We'd slide back and forth. I'd got through the war, all right, but I didn't know if I was going to get back across the sea.
The Homefront Veterans Oral History Project is a joint project of WMPG and Portland Harbor Museum. This program was produced by Stephanie Philbrick. Funding was provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Institute for Museum and Library Services. In-kind support was provided by the Shipyard Brewing Company. A special thank you goes out to Ted Jordan and his American History class at Cape Elizabeth High School. And of course, this project would not have been possible without the men and women who built Liberty ships during World War II. For more information about this project, or to hear additional clips from these interviews, click on the Rosie the Riveter icon on the WMPG website at www.wmpg.org.